All right, folks, welcome back to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew again with Father John Gozzaldo. Thanks, Father, for coming back and joining us here.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Always a pleasure. This is what I
Last
love to
week,
do.
we jumped into a topic that is often a criticism of Catholics. And this idea of Christ as the foundation of our, not an idea, it is a fact that Christ is the foundation of our church. But our Protestant brothers and sisters often accuse us of looking at other people, humans, creations as being part of that foundation.
Well, they all seem to seek to reform from the great apostasy. They all just say the same thing. Oh, we just go back to the older church. We just want to be part of the early church. And they claim, no, that's us. When Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists, Landmark Baptists, even Lutherans will say, we just want to reform, the biblical church, the church of the New Testament. We need to
So if
start
you,
calling it out.
yeah. So and we talked a little bit about. We started with a couple of quotations from the New Testament specifically that are often pointed at by especially Mormons and LDS and others as critiques, criticisms of Catholics and Catholicism in general. We talked about Ephesians 2:20, and so I'd like to, Father, I'd like to kind of jump right into the gospel passage from Matthew 16, 18. This is one you just started alluding to it, and this is one that many of us are very familiar with. Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I think we
So,
got to start with some language skills
yes.
first.
So, yeah. So either this is what it says it is, because what it's saying on the surface is actually what it's saying beneath it. Peter, you are Petra, and upon this Petros, I will build my church. So we would say that Jesus started the church with Peter on his faith, but also on him, a foundation. You give him a keys of the kingdom, of authority, changes his name. Now, the retort to people who really, I mean, it's a weak retort, saying, well, it's two different Greek words, and Jesus is talking to his faith. Even though Jesus says you and your, I say to you, the old Petros, because one's masculine, one's feminine. And that is like the weakest argument. Because if it is what it says it is, if Jesus does tell Peter, you're the first head of the church, the first pope, then it blows up their whole ecclesiology. If the papacy is given by Jesus, then everybody should be Catholic. And Protestants know that. If the papacy is a ministry, the Petri ministry was given to us by Christ, because history tells us so. The very next pope was Pope Linus. Either that's a God-given institution, a fatherhood, a Petrine ministry, then everybody should be Catholic. And everybody should be Catholic. Let me ignore this real quick.
So while you're looking that up, I want to read
No,
this.
I go ahead and read what you're going to say.
Yeah, I want to read this this quote because this just cracks me up.
This is from the Mormon guy?
Yes, yes,
Okay, go ahead.
yes. David E. Pratt. Don't go
Pratt.
look.
Yeah.
Don't go looking him up. Okay. Da, 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 to he's talking about 16, Matthew 16, 18, where they claim they being us claim Peter was the rock on which the church is built. To so state would exalt a man to a position God never intended.
Oh,
It's like this
wow.
guy, David E. Pratt, is telling us exactly what God intended.
Yeah, he knows what God intended to a state ahead of. I mean, God was always talking to Moses, to David, you be the leader, to Adam. That's why we call Christ the new Adam. And you could say that Adam was a priest because he was meant to cultivate the earth and protect the garden. That's what Jesus did. He came to give us peace, but also authority. The church authority and certain people in it authority. Yes. So you got to be very careful when you make a when you criticize authority with authoritative statements.
That's right.
That's not what God intended. How do you know that? You know the mind of God, because that's what Joseph Smith said. Don't get me
Right.
started.
Yeah, it's this is just an amazing, amazing statement.
So, and they'll also point to Matthew 18, which gives all the apostles the power to forgive and retain sins. So they might say, well, he gave everybody that same power. So, well, no. In Matthew 16, he gave changed Peter's name, but he gave him keys. Not everybody got a key. A key is a sign of authority. That's what a king gives to his, Secretary of State, speaks in his name. And I have an office. When this office here is the pastor's office, and when I leave here, I'll actually give the keys to a new pastor. That's because now this is his office, and this office carries weight and authority. Now, again, the stakes are high. The stakes are high. If Jesus did do all that, that's when Protestants, there's a whole, the Coming Home Network. I've never heard of that. Yeah, the Coming Home Network is not just about converts, it's about pastors who want to become Catholic. But when they start to realize that the New Testament church was Catholic, that throws them into a crisis, an existential crisis, because that means their whole belief system has been blown up. Their whole ecclesiology has been blown up. They're actually in the wrong church. That's difficult. I was talking to a young lady not too long ago who said she left the church over the LGBTQs, women priests and contraception and all of that. And suddenly she was red-pilled. She saw the truth of it, and it was not that she glorified in it. She just was mortified. I've been on the wrong side. It's like the abortion issue. If we're right about abortion and the pro-choices are wrong, that means they're culpable in a genocide. Can you imagine believing that? Realizing that you're worse than the Nazis. So the stakes are high. When I get into debates about abortion, you can be surprised how much they will have to grasp on to arguments because they can't be wrong. And if they are wrong, they're on the wrong side, not just of history, but of a genocide. So, like I said, the stakes are high. Either Jesus started the church and that's the Catholic Church, or he didn't. And if he did, that's dangerous. I always tell people, if we're wrong about abortion, yeah, okay, then what are the consequences? Well, a few women have been made uncomfortable because they actually had their babies. But if you're wrong, that means millions of babies will rise from the dead and convict us. Well, I always think, I think Protestants go to heaven. Good Protestants go to heaven. And when they get there, they're like, man, these Catholics were right all along. I imagine they're a little disappointed. Sure, they're excited. They're excited to be up there through no fault of their own. And we should ask all of them to pray for us.
Amen.
Ask all of them to pray for us. Because Jesus did not meant what we can say for sure that Jesus meant there to be divisions amongst the body of Christ. We know he didn't intend that there be, landmark Baptist, missionary Baptist, primitive Baptist, a free will Baptist. Didn't mean for that. Didn't mean to be five different Lutheran denominations, 15 different Presbyterian denominations. That's not what he intended. He didn't even intend the Orthodox and Catholic Church to split. The Orthodox said we split from them. We say they split from us. One of us is wrong. One of us is wrong. We can't both be right. We could both be wrong, There was a Christian faith that grew out of, they were called Paulicans and Bogomils. You ever heard of those guys?
No.
That was an offshoot of heresy in like the first century, but they died. Well, maybe they were the truth or I doubt it. I doubt it. The Paulicans, the Bogomils, and then there were the Hutterites, the Hussites, and but you don't want, and the Waldesians. Have you ever heard of them? Waldesians?
No.
Yeah, these are
I'm not
early
gonna be.
heretics.
I'm not gonna be looking any of this up.
Proto-Protestant. No, it's you learn so much. that when someone says God came to me and told me this, well, that's what Joseph Smith said. That's what Charles Taze Russell said. That's what they all say. And what am I talking about? That's what David Koresh
Oh, gosh.
say. You know, he got special revelation. When anybody who says, I have special revelation that's new. If I were to say to you, I had a dream last night that the Trinity was true, you would say, duh.
Yeah,
I
of
mean, duh. But if
course.
I said, I had a dream last night, Tom, and God told me that there's a quadernity in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and
Edgar.
Edgar, he's the fourth in the quadernity, you would say, well, no, you've gone off the rails. You've gone off the rails. No. And what if I had a, like a community that I convinced them of it, had a little drawing with four sides,
Edgadarians.
what would you say? And they started to bring, give me money, and oh my gosh. Well, welcome to sectarianism. Anyway, you had some more Bible verses.
The other one that that really kind of cracks me up, besides Matthew 16:18, and I'm trying to pull change that. Oh, is here we go. Revelation 21:14,
Go ahead. What is that?
where New Jerusalem is said to have not one foundation but 12.
Okay.
With the names of the apostles, and then the argument is that or the counter argument that Pratt and some of these other guys make is that the 12 kept changing, that there were 12 and then there were 11 and then there were 13 and then Paul came along and there were 77 and I've seen numbers of triple digit numbers of apostles that were part of the inner circle of Christ, and they forget the fact, I think, more often than not, that especially Revelation, was written
The seven
60,
churches.
70 years after, or 50 to 60 years, I guess, after Christ's resurrection.
Yeah, something like that.
As Paul was an old man, on Patmos. So,
John.
or John, I'm sorry, excuse me. I got
Yeah,
my
he was writing to churches that were struggling,
right.
already struggling, and those seven churches were struggling with whether to kind of circle their wagons and be incels or to be, and they were having troubles in their churches, and he was trying to address them with his visions. And so gospel, the revelation is a dynamic, a book that we think has already happened, is still happening, and will happen. It's very liturgical. It's has elements of the mass, as you know, it's got Han and the fourth cup and all of, his liturgical. But when you strip, see, this is the problem, part of the problem. When you take the Bible and you rip it out of its liturgical context, you're asking for chaos.
Amen.
When you rip it out of the mass, sure, you should study it, but when you rip it out of the mass and make it your own little thing, you're asking for chaos. And the evil one can come in. The evil one can fool you. John the Apostle, I mean, St. Peter say, some of Paul's writings are confusing. Well, that's why Jesus left us a church. If I can use an image for you,
Please.
I've been thinking about this like these past couple days. It all comes down to ecclesiology. What is church? What is it? What is it? I think, as a lately we've been hearing that the church is a hospital for sinners. I think it is true. We're also a hospital for sinners. But that's, on every ship there is a place to
There's
go. There's a
yeah.
medic somewhere, and a place for that. But I think for the past 60, 80 years, we have been thought of the, and I think a lot of our Catholic churches too, and Protestant churches, we think of the church as kind of a cruise ship. Get on, be part of the group, and we will entertain you. You'll be comfortable here and you'll enjoy the ride. It will be cool people. But I think that's Jesus did not tell us. I don't think the ship is a cruise. I'm sorry. The church is not a cruise ship.
Yeah.
She is a battleship. She has to be a battleship. She is both a place for sinners and saints and also a hospital, but always on mission, on pilgrim, on campaign against the culture of death. And so we're all asked to take our battleship stations. All everybody has a place in the body of Christ and a place on the ship. But if we embrace this whole idea, especially from a culture that loves to go on cruises, I've never been on a cruise. We think of the church as a cruise ship. Come as you are, relax, have a cup of coffee, in the coffee in the front, enjoy the music and the show. You're part of us, and we hope that you had a good time and felt comfortable and welcome to entertain. And please come back. Please, and if you don't, it's not a sin, but please come back because we need to get wow.
We'll have some new entertainers next cruise.
Yeah, we'll have a new gig, a new show to put on. Why? Because we've become a commercial, a church, and so we're
Yeah.
not. It's a battleship.
We're a sacrament dispensary.
Yeah. Where
Yeah.
can we and we don't we feed you to satiate you? No, we feed you to send you on mission. We renew you and enliven you to be a light to the world, not to go sit in your comfy cabin, not to go in the sauna, not to go hang out in the bar, not to satiate yourself on the on in the buffet that's up all day. I just hear these things. I've never been on a cruise ship. But the cruise ship, people have to remember that if they're on the Catholic Church, this is a battleship. And we have captains. We have a hierarchy. We have someone in the chair, a captain of the ship. And everybody's asked to take their battle station. That's maybe, like any battleship, there's people who got to do mopping. There's people who got mechanics. We have all those places within the church. But also, the church members that your home, has to be a domestic church, maybe not a battleship, but a place to gather and to celebrate, but also to get out of the house and to take your stations. We went door to door. I'll be quiet here in a second, but we went door to door this past Saturday, Tom, and we have a very focused. I know I do. I have a very focused intention that's looking for non-practicing Catholics or ex-Catholics. And sure enough, we knocked on someone's door. They opened the door, Hispanic lady, and she was we always give them the we give them the spiel. I'm Father John. This is Selena. We're from St. Luke Catholic Church. We're looking for Catholics. Are you guys Catholic? And if there's ever a hesitation, they go, well, you know that they were once Catholic.
That's right.
Well, I was baptized Catholic, but now I'm Christian. I go to a non-denominational. Oh, what does that mean? And so we always ask, where do you go? What happened? Well, she goes, I think she said you went to Gateway or something in Belton. Anyway, and she goes, well, it has three locations. And so we just go there. And I said, we invite you back to the Catholic Church. And we have 126 locations here in the Austin area. And we have 6,000 or 7,000 churches across the country. And you're welcome back. And she goes, what? Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But then as her elderly father was there, I said, is that your dad? So I assume he baptized her Catholic. I said, well, sure, where do you go to church? And why don't I welcome you back? And then finally she kind of said, well, we're not going to church at all right now. Oh. Because what happens is not just her. I don't want, she was a nice lady. Often people leave the Catholic Church and join mainline Protestantism, then they join non-denominationalism. Then they go to nothing. Then they're in their own home. Well, I read the Bible and I pray every day. Wow, you have abandoned your station, and the devil rejoices.
That's right.
The church has been deluded. That's not what Jesus meant when he said, "When people hear you, hear me, go baptizing them, make them into disciples." That was his command. He'd say, "Go baptize them and comfort them and feed them and make them feel comfortable." We're not made for comfort. We're made for mission. We are, yeah. And so I know we're running out of time here, but any
We
other?
still got a few more minutes here.
Go ahead, go. Give me another. Let's give me another one of your.
Okay, so there's one more. One more article, or one more Bible passage. Where, oh, I lost my, I lost, I lost my. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 3, is that the right, or did we
10?
talk about that one?
310?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3, specifically 3:11.
Okay,
For
what does it
Noah,
say?
again, I'm quoting from the King James Version here,
Okay.
which I know is dangerous, but it's
Gotcha, I gotcha.
purposeful for this argument. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is
Yeah.
horrible
Amen.
grammar.
So what are you trying, I always say, what are they trying to say? Yeah, that's right. He laid the foundation. He is the cornerstone, but he also founded it on apostles and on Peter. I mean, he's and on the prophets before them. You know, there's many foundations. You got to be very careful when you say the Bible says, because that's why Catholics have to be Bible literate. With the Bible, soak yourself in Scripture. Ignorance, as Saint Jerome said, ignorance of Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And when a Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, and all of every time, like 100% of the time, there's three of them, and one of them used to be Catholic. Sometimes all three of them used to be Catholic. And we just go ahead and tell them, hey, were you Catholic? Well, you never knew your Catholic faith in the first place, did you? You never knew it in the first place. Just call it out. Just because you were ignorant, I'm glad you're here. Come on inside and sit down. And if they throw these verses at you, it is your job to be able to respond and to charitably offer a robust apologetic and an invitation. We always say we would love to have you back. We're here. We would love to. Here's a bulletin. Here's a book. Let's meet again. We'd love to meet again. So
I
even
think
if they
what
say no, you can check that box. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, I think what's most interesting about this particular passage
Okay.
is it almost, and a couple of places that I've been reading here, there's a non-Catholic places that I don't recommend you going into, but they almost acknowledge the contradiction without acknowledging the contradiction. You know, this guy describes it, oh, in Ephesians 2:20, it's illustrative and he's the cornerstone and there's other pieces
Agree.
of the foundation that are all made that are all measured off of that. In his very next sentence, 1 Corinthians says there can be no foundation other than Jesus Christ. It's like, wait a minute. Two sentences ago, you just said he was part of the foundation.
Yeah.
Now you're saying he's the only part, that he's the chief cornerstone, but he's the only part of the foundation. It's like, again, the mental gymnastics that they have to go through, and the machinations to convince themselves of their own weak arguments are almost incredible.
Probably because they're used to Catholics having weak arguments. I mean, that's what they're used to, and they think they think Catholics don't know the Bible, and they're right. Most of them don't, but they also don't know the teaching of the church. Most Protestants don't know either, and that's why it's okay to be involved in Protestant. We don't say like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses don't be involved with any other. No, get involved in an ecumenical Bible study. Read a books. With other Christians that were meant to engage the world. Because when we stand before God, we want to be able to say with other people, no, I tried to convince them. I met with them. I invited them. There's nothing worse. I can't even imagine at the resurrection when someone left the church and Jesus said, well, they said, well, no one ever invited me back. No one ever engaged me. They just gave up. It's better to get up and strike out than to stay in the dugout, or to stay by the pool, kick back with martini. That's the way of modern American Christianity is you come in dressed as you are, flip-flops, and go to the Starbucks station, get your coffee, sit down, sing, and just.
We're not gonna start having a conversation about people's attire in mass, are we?
That's dangerous even for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's dangerous even for us when people come up to communion. I've had people come up to communion with their soccer uniforms on. Well, they'll say, well, Father, I gotta go. I will say, I've had people come up to communion lately that are chewing gum. And you say, "Are you chewing gum?" "Yes." "Okay, go spit it out and get back in line." There's a lot of theology there, Tom. A lot of
Yeah.
theology there.
Amen.
Go
Amen.
take care of
Amen.
it, like going to confession.
That's
Get
right.
it out and get back in line.
Go take your what does Christ say? Go and find your brother
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
go
come back. Yeah.
reconcile, and then before you bring your gifts to the altar. Yeah.
Father, we got about a couple of minutes here. Any final thoughts here about Christ as the foundation of our church?
Well, and I think when you come to Mass, that manifests at the Mass. What are you genuflecting to? Where is the action at? It's on that altar. That altar stands for Christ. And it even images that we put, saints in the bottom of those to say that we have a historical church built in the foundation of the saints, of the apostles. And everything flows from that altar. Everything flows because if there is no Mass, there is no Eucharist, there is no priesthood, there is no church, Jesus is still sustaining him, his church with his priesthood, with the sacraments, with water, with bread, with wine. And we are the body of Christ, we're also the bride of Christ. And so how do we interface with Christ? Well, that's at the Mass. So it's all about Jesus. It's all about his heart, being in the heart of the church and the heart of Jesus. And the Eucharist is the heart of the church, and the altar is the heart of any parish. So when people say things, be on the lookout. "Well, I didn't go to Mass today. Well, I watched it on TV. Does that count?" "Well, I don't know. Ask your spouse. Do I have to talk to you? Can we just kind of, can we talk by Zoom? Does that account?" No, that's not. The Christian way is an embodiment, and body has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. The church has a name, and that is our Blessed Mother. What happens in there? It is all about Him. He's the foundation stone, the structure. Everything was built up through Him, for Him, in Him. My goodness.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have to leave it right there, Father. Please
May
give us
Almighty
a
God
blessing.
bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right,
All
brother.
right. Thanks, folks. Appreciate y'all tuning in and joining us. And remember to put on the armor of God.